The lawsuit alleges religious discrimination by the NYPD, the City of New York, Mayor Bloomberg, Police Commissioner Kelly, and Assistant Commissioner Cohen of the Intelligence Division. It comes at a time where surveillance by government agencies is under scrutiny. The NYPD's Intelligence Division has been mapping Muslim communities, businesses, religious and social institutions since 2002. Surveillance includes deploying NYPD officers and informants to infiltrate mosques and monitor conversations on websites and blogs. The information goes into intelligence databases. According to the NYPD's Intelligence Division, mapping activities have not generated a single lead or led to any terrorism investigation. Nonetheless, informants have not only violated trust, but have ruined lives within Muslim circles. One of the plaintiffs in the case, Asad Dandia, nicknamed Ace, is a sophomore at a CUNY college. He's studying to be a social worker. Dandia founded an organization called Muslims Giving Back, which feeds the hungry. He was befriended by an undercover NYPD officer, and he fell into a trap.
In March of 2012, I was approached by a 19-year-old man. He came to me telling me that he was looking for spirituality and that he was looking to change his ways. He said he had a very dark past and he wanted to be a better practicing Muslim. So I figured, what better way to have him perform his obligation than to join this organization? I told him that he can be a volunteer within the organization, and he gladly accepted. He started showing up to all of our events and attending all of our meetings. Eventually, our relationship became personal. He said he wanted to be an organizer for our organization, and I gladly took him in. We bonded, we shared stories. Oftentimes, we would find ourselves hanging out with each other, not related to the organization. And he would come to me, and he would tell me how I changed his life, and I helped him become a better person.
Then Dandia was betrayed.
In October of 2012, he released a public statement stating that he was an informant for the NYPD. When I found out, I had a whole mixture of feelings. Number one, I was terrified and I was afraid for my family, especially for my younger sister who were exposed to all of this. I felt betrayed and hurt because someone who I took as a friend and a brother was lying to me and used me.
Now the young man is trying to put his life back together, but he says he and his organization are being shunned within the Muslim community for fear of drawing undue police scrutiny. His story shows the kind of unlawful surveillance the lawsuit is seeking to stop. The complaint states the NYPD instructed its officers and informants to spy on and record speech and activities of Muslims in violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution. The current commanding officer of the NYPD's intelligence division said officers may be instructed to record and report on Muslim New Yorkers' conversations to determine if they are upset about world events. This is why one of the plaintiffs in the case, Brooklyn Imam Hamid Hassan Raza, stopped talking about current events with his congregants.
Whatever happens throughout, a bombing might take place, or even something like the Boston bombing that we should speak about. And we should make our community aware of that and condemn that. But however, we are not able to speak about these openly because we're afraid.
NYPD officers trained as informants were instructed on how to bait Muslim New Yorkers. One technique known as create and capture is where an informer creates a conversation about jihad or terrorism, then captures and reports a Muslim's response to the NYPD. The complaint talks about a 19-year-old who, following his third arrest on misdemeanor drug charges, was paid $1,500 a month to monitor talk in mosques and with other youth. He was told to listen for buzzwords such as jihad and revolution, collect and photograph the names of people attending study groups and classes on Islam, and report back to the NYPD. This, even though none of it was relevant to actual or suspected criminal activity. Lead attorney for the New York Civil Liberties Union, Arthur Eisenberg, says the heart of the case is that Muslims have been singled out as a community for special scrutiny.
And in doing that, the police department has conveyed the message that Muslims are to be stigmatized and are inherently suspicious. That is the essential claim. It's essentially an equal protection claim, although we also advance religious freedom claims under the First Amendment as well.
The lawsuit seeks to expunge records of all plaintiffs created by unlawful surveillance, and it seeks to appoint a monitor to ensure that New Yorkers are not profiled for religious practices, Not unlike the court-appointed monitor requested to monitor the NYPD in the stop and frisk case.
The stop and frisk case, at its heart, involves claims of discrimination, of racial discrimination. This is a different program. It's a program directed at the Muslim community, and the lawsuit rests essentially on a claim of religious discrimination.
I do want to highlight one more thing about the connections between the Muslim surveillance program and stop and frisk.
Ramzi Kosin is with CLEAR Project, the CUNY School of Law.
Both stop and frisk and the Muslim surveillance program are twin forms of crude discriminatory profiling. And they both fail in that they confuse prejudice with police work.
And now that this complaint has been filed, what's next? Again, NYCLU's Arthur Eisenberg.
Under the procedures in federal court, the city will have a reasonable amount of time to decide whether they want to move to dismiss the case or whether they want to answer the complaint, and it will be the city's decision as to how the case proceeds.
What happens if they move to dismiss the case?
If they move to dismiss the case, then the court will resolve that motion by considering whether we have established a legally sufficient claim based upon the truthfulness of the allegations in our complaint.
Hannah Shaughnessy, director of the ACLU's National Security Project, says the hope is that the court will provide and ultimately put an end to an unconstitutional, unsound, and ineffective police profiling policy. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.